Okay, ask Catherine. We got a ton of questions, so I'm going to talk through them. You sent a lot of good links in this week. I wanted to comment on Vax because I got a lot of great links on the documentary Vaxxed about vaccinations that was spiked by Robert De Niro from the Tribeca Film Festival. A theater in New York decided to run it. It's been playing to packed office audiences. One of our subscribers went to see it and says it's fantastic. So if you're near the New York City area, you might want to check that out. But thanks for all the links on Vaxxed. Unbelievable situation. Another interesting one that got sent was a Texas woman died in Cancun while vacationing, went off her balcony. It turned out she worked at the Texas Bullion Exchange. Looks suspicious to me, so I'm posting it. What we're seeing is all sorts of efforts to lock down different pools and pots of gold or companies that deal with gold. The Sprout folks finally moved in on Central Gold Trust, unfortunately. We've seen the purchase of gold money move to a very different control. We use Northwest Territories Mint to make our coins. We just saw last week them thrown into bankruptcy as a result of a judgment in what was essentially a libel case. But again, another sort of unpleasant change of control at a gold company or a precious metals company. Someone also sent in a great picture of a sign from Manhattan Mini Storage that was up on the streets in Manhattan. It says, "If Donald Trump really wants to keep all the aliens out, he might as well build a wall around our galaxy too." One question I got was advice on how to best teach entrepreneurship to kids from K through 12. The person who asked it homeschools. So I wrote an email to Bob Lytan, who I respect, he used to run research at the Kauffman Foundation, and that was one of the most serious efforts ever in the world to really drill down and build very high quality knowledge about entrepreneurship and sort of our best intellectual resources on entrepreneurship. A lot of great research done under Bob's during Bob's leadership there. Anyway, he wrote back and he said, "Wow, great question. I don't think there's any good book that addresses K through 12. The best book in general for entrepreneurship for a mass audience is Nam Brodsky and Bo Burlingham Street Smarts. High schoolers would get it." So I've ordered that and I'll take a look at it and report back to you. I wanted to remind you again of something I said in several months ago. There was a great study described in the Wall Street Journal about how to make sure your kids were great at finance. It said, don't teach them finance, just make sure they're absolutely fantastic at math. So math mastery is the door to financial literacy. Catherine, you often speak of the importance of detoxing, and you've made it clear you practice what you preach. I'm wondering what methods of detoxification you use. There are many options. I have a suggestion on how you might respond to my question. If you do not want to reveal too much personal information, invite a guest speaker to the Salieri Report who is an expert on the area of detoxing. Yes, we did that. We did a great Salieri Report with my nutritionist, Dr. Laura Thompson, who is also John Rappaport's wife. And we it's in the archives. It's a great thing to do to revisit in the spring. The relevancy of the information doesn't change. It's as useful this year as it was when we recorded it. Anyway, so look up our detoxing archive in the health library with Dr. Laura Thompson. The one addition I could make to all the different things we went through, many of which I use or have used, is every morning and sometimes at night, I will take the juice of two organic lemons and a teaspoon of baking soda and a glass of water, and it's fabulous for staying alkaline and great to keep your liver flushing as well. They keep going. One question about oral or intravenous chelation. I've only used oral chelation, as I discuss in the in that particular Salieri report. Then they had a question about fluoride. Fluoride, I don't know how to detox, but I will ask. Then they said, "I loved the last show with a Memphis safe master. Never a dull moment with that guy." Yep, if you're interested in getting a safe, that's a great interview. Hi, Catherine. What is your best advice to one of your subscribers running for Congress next cycle? I would recommend you read my open letter to my congressman that I just wrote to my congressman, Marsha Blackburn, on disclosure of place-based data. I would also say identify the top 10% most value-creating people in terms of local employment and income in your congressional district, and or people the top 10% in terms of building skills in the area, whether they're businesses or educational establishments. I'd identify them, and then I would figure out what they need, because what the way you're going to make your district great is by helping the real performers, the people who really add the most value, supporting them and helping them get what they need to do what they do. Give a value creator a little bit more energy, and it's amazing how they can multiply it. Also, have you considered an interview with Kay Griggs? We posted all of Kay Griggs' interview videos. She was the wife of she's a military wife who does some interviews and tells all about the culture and sort of the dark side of some of the things going on in Washington. I haven't invited her for an interview because I thought the videos and interviews she did were quite complete. So I don't think there was anything I think that she would add. So I would encourage you to watch those. I hear you often, new question. I hear you often on Coast AM and wondered about the problem I found with normal banks and the problem for downsizing and building small, like myself, who wanted to borrow a small amount for a home in my price range and the problems I found. We need a system that lends to below 60,000 down to 15,000, 10,000 for a small, tiny house nation and be able to live small, free from zoning issues and government and county issues, a step above camping and being happy with that. I ran into banks saying, no, we do not screw with you over enough with that small loan. Any way you and Dave Ramsey can suggest this or advertise on FYI tiny houses to get the word out? Any help and suggestions would be welcome. That's a great idea. From what I can see of federal regulation and zoning, they're trying to make they're going in the opposite direction, trying to make tiny homes very difficult to do. But what you want to do is you want to live in a place, as I do, where there's essentially no zoning, and you're pretty much free to do what you want within reason on your land. I think the way to finance a tiny house is going to be private mortgages. So you're going to have to do shorter amortizations. The private mortgage market developed pretty strongly and really dropped off after 2008 or 2006 to 2008. At the same time, there are always there may be family members or are local people looking for more attractive interest rates, and you have so many people really struggling to get decent yield. That a tiny home mortgage is going to be with a 10 to 15-year amortization could be very, very attractive. You just have to be able to carry a much shorter amortization. Dearest Catherine, I was so proud and honored to be a part of Solaria. I'm glad I made the leap and have been following you on Dark Journalists and the Secret Space programs. I work a very physical job and in need of several surgeries, which will force me into a small retirement. I am 64 and a half years old, and I'm being forced from my hometown as a result of high costs. I signed up for a whole life insurance policy and am in 4 years into a 10-year paid-up status. I feel this is not only draining my wife and I of our resources, but is feeding the tapeworm and looking at life in a negative, death-oriented way. I will probably lose 40K if I'm lucky, but better to cut ties because at this high payment a year, I'm still on the hook for a lot. I could then apply this allocation to pay down my mortgage. I may not be around for a whole lot longer. Should I get out of what I now consider an insurance scam? Also, I have the ability to pay off my mortgage and secure the hard asset. I have about this many years left at 3.875% interest, and that would get me out of the tapeworm and help my wife. And some more information. Anyway, I don't know about the particulars. I can't advise you based on the information you gave. If the insurance company has a strong credit, it's a lot more attractive to stay than if it does not. So the credit quality of the insurance company could make a big difference in terms of what would be the best. I'd need to know a lot more about the policy and the particulars to make any kind of judgment on that. At the same time, I will say this: paying off your mortgage in the current environment is very attractive. If you're paying 3.875% mortgage, it's going to be very difficult to get that kind of pre-tax return on most investments, particularly for the near term. So, I just would need to know a lot more to make a judgment. So I really can't without the information. Sorry about that. Dear Catherine, I would love to hear your view about what was going on in this short video. They sent a link to a video of Bill Clinton, with Mark Kelly and former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords in Tucson, and it was clear, so the person who asked the question, watch Bill Clinton standing in the background the whole way through. So strange, makes me wonder. He acts slimier in at least another video. I would say that Clinton's health is failing, and I've had other people report this kind of behavior. I think that could pose a serious problem for Hillary Clinton in the campaign, and an even bigger one in if she wins, because Clinton's presence has done a lot. He's done a lot to watch her back and make backdoor deals. So if he really, should lose his health or die, it's going to put her in a much weaker position. Hi, Catherine. I'm wondering if we already had I don't even know how to say this, anti-gravity, and T3s and T4s capable of interplanetary and possible interstellar flight, which I believe to be true. Why is Elon Musk still building rockets? It's something that doesn't add up to me. Thanks. This is a great question. I couldn't agree more. It's a very important question. I don't know the answer. One possibility is quarantines on technology. Another possibility, one of our subscribers insists, is all those spaceships that look like they have those technologies are really holograms. So for all I know, they are. But we really do have multiple personality and multiple model worlds. And a perfect example is fossil fuel. We know we have breakthrough energy technology, and yet we're operating on a legacy technology and have been for a long, long time. One of the best speeches I've ever seen that informs this is Farrell's speech on treaty agreements at Secret Space Program 2015, and I would really encourage you to get his presentations at both 2014 and 2015. But that one is, still have to buy it on the internet, but it's absolutely worth getting. Hi, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber to the Saleri Report. I had listened to you for years and finally came to my senses and subscribed. I have to thank you for what you do and for being a beacon of light to turn to. I hope you continue on for a long time doing the great work you do. I wanted to solicit your opinion on my work pension plan option. I understand this disclaimer: you cannot provide formal investment advice, and I should seek out a formal opinion from a qualified advisor. I don't personally trust them or know of anyone I can specifically trust. I've recently switched jobs and have the opportunity to unlock my defined benefit pension plan by taking a commuted value payout or leave it in the current plan. Apparently can roll it over into the plan for his new employer. It's a very good plan and is fully funded at the current time. I have to look 20 to 25 years out, however. I have a very pessimistic view of our public pension plans over the long term and on the state of what our monetary system will be and what our perceived current value of what we have within it will be. For this reason, I lean towards cashing out is worth approximately X. I would incur a large tax hit, but the after-tax proceeds would be in my control. I figure at the very least I'm diversifying my risk, taking it on my shoulders, as I will have to be a mandatory participant in the plan again under my new employer. I'm not sure if you can offer an opinion, disclaimer aside, on my situation, my predisposition to want to get out, when I can get out to be under my control. I would appreciate it if you could, but understand you are very busy and will not be able to answer this personal request. I would like, here's some of the important issues. I'd like to have a balance in the system and outside the system. You are probably much better off financially if you leave it in, because it will be able to compound pre-tax for a long, long time. And the power of those numbers, it's worth sitting down and doing a spreadsheet and looking at what happens when that money can compound pre-tax for a long, long time. So, I also, my guess about the particular system you're in is it's strong and will probably stay stronger over the long run than you think it will. My guess is I probably will assume greater strength than you will. However, so I like to have some in the system and some out the side, out of the system. If you're going to put a lot more into this system and you don't have much out of the system, then it makes sense to take it out, because then you have the money for the worst case. And again, I don't know enough about your situation. If taking it out will allow you to extinguish all mortgage and debt and live debt-free, it may be worth giving up that ability to compound pre-tax. So a lot of it depends on other things that are going on. I don't have an information to make a judgment. But again, I believe in balance, some in, some out. And I do think that pre-tax compounding is worth a lot. But I think it's worth more to live debt-free and to be covered in the worst case. Because if you got everything in the system and you hit the worst case, then you're not covered. You don't have assets out under your control. So so I would look for that kind of balance. But it would be very tempting if it can get you debt-free. Another comment on I attended a lecture presentation recently by a gentleman named Matthew Pauley. He spoke about being an unwilling participant in the U.S. Special Forces training program. It was an event put on by Conspiracy Culture. It was chilling and disturbing. I thought I would bring it to your attention. Matthew was on with Sean Stone and also on Coast with George Norrie recently. I've attached the link. I began to watch the link. I'll try and learn more about Pauley. I don't know much about the story, although I do believe that things such as he's describing happen. I just recorded a show with Jay Dyer, which will run next month, on top movies that describe mind control and describe some of the technology that Pauley was hinting at. So I thought it was very interesting, but I'll have to research more, and I thank you for bringing it to my attention. Catherine, I can't tell you how happy I am with my subscription with you. I've subscribed to many different informational services. Yours by far resonates more than anything I've used to help my knowledge base grow. I'm getting a lot of compliments these 2 weeks. This is very heartening. I love to make sure the subscribers really get value. Okay. Question: in one of your interviews, you mentioned briefly about your QRS unit you use. It was only briefly. Can you speak more on this topic? It's going to be part of my detox and healthy body journey. Take a look at the commentary on the website. It's called Quantron Resonant System. I was given the Quantron Resonant System as a gift, and subsequently, of that was in 2004, and it was added tremendously to my sort of preventative health effort, because the stress of the litigation really shut down my metabolism, and it helped me to really kickstart it. And I, the technology, these are my words, help you rebalance your electromagnetic field. If you work a lot with computer technology, it's to me, it's very helpful. So I like it. I would stress that Dr. Samuel Higgum, who we interviewed on Dirty Electricity, is very negative on using these kinds of things, and so I got a very bad reference from him, but I continued. In fact, I just got a new one, so I love it and couldn't imagine living without it. But check out that website post, Quantron Resonant System. When you buy one, you can get, they have a variety of written material and a book you can buy that will tell you a lot about different ways people have used it. But again, I just find it's great for kind of rebalancing and making sure my metabolism stays high. Oh, this is a great comment. It's not really a question, but a great heads up. Hi, this is hopefully a quick note concerning the question you received a few weeks back about OneCoin. I heard it just yesterday. Somebody asked me about OneCoin. I didn't know anything about it. I'm a subscriber for the last year and very involved in the cryptocurrency decentralization-oriented community for a couple of years now. OneCoin came to my attention at the Tel Aviv Bitcoin Embassy about 2 weeks ago. A flashy-looking man came in and asked about it. We tried to warn him, as we do, about the dangers of what we call altcoins. But then we found out that one coin isn't even traded on any cryptocurrency market and doesn't seem to be an actual blockchain-based currency, but as far as we figured from our search, simply a classic Ponzi marketing scheme that uses the new blockchain buzzwords to dupe a new wave of non-tech-savvy people. The man, in retrospect, was someone competently trying to dupe us, which is hilarious. Selling a Ponzi scheme to a Bitcoiner is like selling ice to Eskimos, as I cynically concluded. Oh, this is hysterical. There is no evidence that one coin exists at all. See coinmarketcap.com lists all blockchain currencies currently traded, including the most bizarre ones imaginable. One coin is not on it. And if a crypto enthusiast is warning you of a scam, be sure you are in trouble. Investing in real blockchain, whatever coins, including the Bitcoin, is problematic enough for several reasons and should never be done without A, reading up and gaining basic knowledge of the concept and mechanism of blockchain-based programs, B, being traded-oriented and aware of the extremely wild and non-fundamentals-based or less politely pump-and-dump nature of these frontier markets. Generally, it should not be done at all. Lots of luck, accepted after much contemplation. Please convey this to your subscriber. I have to tell you, that's great advice. Thank you so much. Big question, who should I get on the Saleri Report to explain blockchain technology? I've been reading books and articles trying to find somebody who would make a good person to talk about blockchain and what its potential impact might be and why. So anything you want to write, I'd love to read. Great comment. So very much appreciated. Dear Catherine and John, this isn't a question, it's a heartfelt, massive thank you. I recently sent you a letter, Catherine, asking you a few questions about spiritual matters. I had to smile wildly to myself when you responded to it on air, as it were, because you said you couldn't really answer all my questions. You actually gave me more answers there and then than I could have hoped for. I then proceeded to go through the interviews that you recommended in the archives that were relevant to the subject, alongside devouring many of the John Rappaport posts. I just finished listening to The Power of It. I now have to try and sleep, and my head is an excited whirl of something that I just can't describe. When I first heard you mention biblical references in interviews, I was so intrigued as to what kind of Christian you were. I've developed faith over the years in my own way. I put it in practice, too, and it gets stronger. However, I don't know anybody who I can talk to about it. The only deep conversations I can have is with a handful of my patients. Unfortunately, these conversations always end up hitting uncomfortable walls because inevitably they think you have to do it a certain way, either ask Jesus into your heart or become a Jehovah's Witness or fit into a box. Sometimes I do get insecure and think, what if they are right? What if I'm doing it all wrong and my ego is the thing that is tricking me? Maybe I should be humbling myself in a way I don't realize how to do. I now feel free from these insecurities, and I feel free to carry on as I am. It was so amazing to hear you both discuss your own experiences, and so encouraging, I can't tell you. I feel that by joining Saleri, I'm paying a small amount every month to be given a treasure chest, which is overflowing with precious jewels of information. Oh, good. So I'm 3/4 of the way along a springboard. I've been endeavoring to jump off for years, and it has led me to you. I had the most incredible dream this week, so real, a smooth start to finish. One, I've been offered the part of Juliet in a West End production of Romeo and Juliet. As I'm not an actress, this is quite unbelievable, but somehow I knew I could do it. It came with all the excitement that could offer, the people I met, the disbelief that this could have actually happened to me. I experienced feelings in that dream that I've never had in real life. At the last moment, I found out that Romeo's being played by my dream co-actor. Can't think of the right word for it. Anyway, I'm dressed and ready and about to go on stage when I realize I don't know the script. I don't know any of the lines. This is a familiar scenario for me in dreams. Either I'm naked in public, ill-prepared for something, you know. However, the strange thing in this dream was that instead of feeling nervous or running away, I thought to myself, well, God, if you're there, you're going to have to feed me the lines. Then I woke up astounding. Anyway, like I say, thank you doesn't cover it. So excited. By the way, I hope making friends with death doesn't mean that either of you die anytime soon. Stay alive. The world really needs you. Sounds to me like you're going from, you're moving into the phase of realizing, oh, you're inventing it. So you're inventing your world, and as you invent your world, you're inventing the world with the rest of us. We're inventing it. We're writing history. We're part of history. We're inventing history. Some suggestions, some things you might enjoy reading if you like to read. Read the parts that got edited out of the Bible. A lot of the good stuff got edited out. One is the Book of Enoch, another is the Book of Thomas. I also recommend the Essenes, and I'm a great reader of the Pistis Sophia, and I'm going to another workshop in Italy on the Pistis Sophia in October. So, but it's a journey. As far as I believe, it's never over. I also love to read Rudolf Steiner on Christ and Christianity. He has a lot of great insights. I just finished a 22 CD series of sermons on Proverbs from Tim Keller in New York City. That is one of the best series of sermons I've ever heard. It was the first thing I'd ever heard from this guy. I signed up to follow him on Twitter, and a wonderful Dr. Mike Linton, wonderful professor in Middle Tennessee, sent them to me. I walked in, and there were 22 CDs stacked up on my den ottoman, and I thought, oh my goodness, Linton is completely over the top. How am I going to listen to 22 sermons on Proverbs? And I tore through it. I just loved it. So it was great. Next question. Love your interviews. Would it be possible to interview George Gilder? He is a master of technology and money. He has a new book, The Scandal of Money, that is receiving rave reviews. I ordered the book, and so I will take a look at it when it comes in, and I'll see. And I very much appreciate that suggestion. I love getting suggestions of great guests for the Solaria Report. Dear Catherine, can you tell us about Solaria Investment Advisory Services, what it does, and tell us what kind of person would be an ideal candidate to begin utilizing these services? Actually, I would rather not. It's important to keep a wall between the two companies. Solaria Report in actually was created to answer clients' questions. I discovered clients were asking me the same question, and I was answering the question 40 times a week, and I realized, no, maybe I should just answer it once and send everybody a podcast. So, anyway, but it was created to answer the client's questions, not to market the investment advisory services. I don't like to cross market. I just think it brings up serious ethical issues. So, if you're interested, I would suggest you contact Solaria Advisors, and my assistant can answer and would be happy to answer all of your questions. And I should also say my strategic goal is to grow the Solaria Report and slowly reduce Solaria Advisors. Dear Catherine, I live in California, and my wife recently took our 12-year-old daughter to visit the doctor. During the visit, the nurse asked our daughter a series of questions, including asking her whether or not we kept weapons in the home. We won't be going back to see this doctor again, but I'm assuming that this information will all be reported to someone and then utilized to categorize specific families. What is your opinion on this? This is exactly what happens when the federal government asserts control over doctor finances, regulation, and ethics. It's very important for you to understand that the data that gets sucked up from your medical records gets integrated with data that's coming in from smart meters, from all sort, you know, from housing and real estate, from taxes. Essentially, everything that comes into the government, in my opinion, is sucked up into the data beast. And the ultimate federal database that's run by the defense contractors. So, the power of that data is not access to the medical or the tax or the financial or the health or the this or the that. It's the integration of all of it and the use of it to harvest for surveillance capitalism to make money and to control, and for insider trading is what I believe. Anyway, if you see a doctor, I would lay out the ground rules on data beforehand and the privacy ground rules. And you know, the only data you share is what is absolutely on point and pertinent to the reason you're seeing them. I would be very, very careful. I would never leave at this point a minor child with a doctor alone. I would insist on being part of the process. And I think you need to educate your children on their rights so that they don't fall into the trap of being asked invasive questions by doctors, by schools, or anyone. So we're going to have to educate our kids about this. I went to see a new doctor in California several years ago, and it was the most frustrating. was the doctor tried to get me to say I was depressed, and I refused to say I was depressed because I wasn't. So they kept saying, well, are you depressed? And after the fourth or fifth time, I started to literally say, how much are you paid as a kickback if you can get me to say I'm depressed? I want to know what the commission is. And then I realized, you know, before I mouth off like that, I should just leave and not come back, which is exactly what I did. The interesting thing was she was clearly very depressed. And it seemed to me if the system had me under the thumb and was making me do things like that, I'd be depressed too. But it's, you know, it's a pretty scary experience. And my heart goes out to you because I know how scary that is. Hi, Catherine. Oh, let me say one other thing. I know you've heard this from me many, many times, but one of the reasons we're all going to have to become our own doctor and find ways of get tested without doctors and find ways of really investing in preventative medicine to make sure that we're healthy and we stay healthy is because you can't trust the system. It's going to become trickier and trickier to navigate it. And frankly, if you live in the area, which I believe this subscriber lives in, you have access to excellent offshore capacity. You know, go south across the border, go, you can go to Latin America, you can go to Mexico, you can go to the Caribbean. But I think it's really time that we all start to access high quality healthcare in areas which are a lot less invasive to our privacy. Hi, Catherine. To summarize, you recently withdraw support from Gold Money, which you had previously recommended for a variety of reasons. Around the same time, Gold Money spawned Big Gold, based in Canada, apparently targeting a different market segment. Apart from some of the concerns you mentioned more recently, Peter Schiff, C-Link, raised some different concerns regarding the potential taxation of holding various forms of digital electronic precious metals like bullion, vault, gold core, hard assets, alliance, e-dinar. Would it be possible for you to please revisit this issue and to give some consideration to this dimension in more recent context and cover that range of subjects in some format? Yes, I will try and look at that when we do the next precious metals report, but I would encourage you to take a look at a piece we did more than a few years ago called A Solari Report, Selected Tax Issues to Consider When Investors Move or Exchange Precious Metals Holdings. It's one of the special reports. You can find it if you go to the special report section at your subscriber resource center, or just do a search on a search engine and you should be able to pick it up. Again, it's tax issues, selected tax issues to consider when investors move or exchange precious metals holding. If you look at the law that relates to Schiff's position on taxability of using gold as a currency, I'm not sure I agree with him because the law would argue that an exchange of a piece of bullion to a coin at a place like Gold Money is not necessarily a taxable event. However, I would note that the IRS could do anything because the digital aspects make it somewhat unique. So I wouldn't necessarily be confident that the existing law would come out the way or that existing tax law would apply. But I will definitely look to talk about that with Franklin when we do the next precious metals market report at the end of May. Hi, Catherine. As in email number one in parallel, I hope you don't mind my presenting some ideas for you to consider covering, especially in regard to Rambus's upcoming report on April 21st. I've rolled up everything you sent and sent it to Rambus, and let's see if it inspires him. Hi, Catherine. In regards to the upcoming luncheon at 21, I thought it'd be a marvelous opportunity to introduce the venue to organic, non-GMO, local food and farmers. And then he gives a wonderful list, or the subscriber gives a wonderful list of all the potential imperfections in the food at the 21 Club last year. It's very funny. I would like to point out we sent, and they recommend going to that down to the Union Square Market in New York, which is absolutely incredible. Just wonderful. I couldn't recommend it more. Anyway, we spent about 20 hours trying to get an organic option for the lunch in New York and finally gave up and went with 21. I'm guilty of compromising because I do love 21. I would say that the chicken that we had from 21 was from the Amish. I know it's not necessarily perfect, but it was one of the best tasting chickens I've ever had. So, if anyone has a recommendation for a place to have lunch for 50 where we can get all organic in New York, I would love that. So keep the recommendations coming. Oh, one other question came in last night. I wanted to just read it to you. Is there any truth to this article? I know our world has gotten a bit nutty, but what is all of this about? Can you comment on this for me? I'm really trying to stay grounded and keep a solid foundation in my life. Thanks for your time. Love what you do. If only had a bit of your knowledge, man. I wish you were my next door neighbor and childhood friend. How different my world would be with friends like you. Praying for you often and love your video visits on YouTube and your Solari website. Here's the link. And it's a link to what I call an adult fairy tale about the global currency reset. I'll never forget sitting with dear friends in June of 2000, right before July 4th of 2014, and them telling me that the dollar was about to collapse and the great dinar valuation was going through, and the currency set reset was going through very much like the URL you sent me. And I said, no, in fact, the dollar's going to rise. And they said, no, the dollar's, it's the end. The dollar's going to collapse. Well, in fact, the dollar's up 20 to 25% since then. It's been on this glorious rise. And the great global reset, of course, every week there's just a new reason why it's just delayed and this is that. Essentially, what you're looking is an adult fairy tale that has bits and pieces that have some authenticity to it. And in fact, the deeper message has authenticity because we know we're watching all the fiat currencies around the world debase, 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 and there's a movement afoot to build and develop a global digital currency. So in one sense, we are going through a global reset, a currency reset, but I would stay away from anything having to say or do with the dinar and any of these things that make life too conveniently simple. So, but I will say this, whether it's the change in the currency or change in technology, we're coming into a period when the change is going to be remarkable and dazzling, and a lot of different institutions and enterprises may not make it. And if you go back and listen to particularly all the wrap-ups for the last couple of years, we go into all of that. And it's part of the shift from the unipolar to a multipolar world. The change is going to be dazzling. So in that sense, we are in a huge global economic and currency reset, but the exact scenario you sent me is something that you can feel free to ignore. Remember, if something puts in you into fear, fear is unbelievably dangerous to your health. And so if something puts you into into fear, it's not useful. There's no serious financial professional, no financial professional of any integrity is ever going to try and put you into fear, with rare exception. In an emergency, maybe. But if it's putting you into fear, dump it.